In today's gospel, Jesus is once again comparing himself to bread, referring to our communion in him. He tells his disciples, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them." What we do in communion at this table is to take Jesus into ourselves. Throughout this chapter's discussion about bread, which gives life, Jesus' words have been greeted with misunderstanding, confusion, and today objection from the crowd. Today we hear how this message is too difficult for some of Jesus' followers and they leave. The 12 apostles remain with Peter saying, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter's response to Jesus is not a word of despair or a statement that they will have to settle for because there is nothing else. Peter and the others who remain have been given a gift of knowing that Jesus is the one who can give genuine life. Here, as elsewhere in this chapter, the paradox remains. Faith only comes as the Father draws us in. And yet Peter and the others, and we too, are asked for a response. Peter and the other 12 choose to remain, and yet the greater and prior reality is that they have been chosen. The mystery of faith and unbelief is not answered by supposed solutions to the paradox, but by grateful confession that the Father has indeed drawn us into faith in Jesus and thus into eternal life. It is only the Spirit that can give life by making faith possible. In verses 63 to 65, Jesus points to his own words as life, to the Spirit as the one who gives life, and to the living Father as the one who brings people to faith. The term living God is common in both the Old and New Testament, but this passage is the only occurrence of the term living Father. The gift of faith is thus given by the Father and nurtured by the Holy Spirit. Faith itself is presented as the work of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us that those who literally take him into themselves abide in him and he in them. The concept of abiding in or dwelling in, the Greek word is meno, is important in this gospel. Jesus didn't say that he would abide or stay with him, but rather, we will abide in him. When we take Jesus' teachings into our heart, he is not just part of our lives like a friend who's always nearby. He becomes part of us and we become part of him, Jesus being alive within us. When we abide in Jesus, we literally begin to see the world around us as God sees it. We look upon all those around us with the eyes of God and not the eyes of the world. We start to look at strangers differently. We empathize with the struggle of immigrants, the poor, those widowed or grieving, those orphaned or elderly, as needing our love and support. With the eyes of God given us through the life of Jesus abiding in us, we understand God is just as present within Jewish or Muslim or other religious communities as he is within our own Christian community. We began to accept the reality that we have always been an immigrant nation, and those of us who descend from Anglo-European ancestors will no longer be solely in the majority, and maintaining power and privilege must be something shared with those who have not had access to power and privilege in the past. The message of Christianity is that we are to die to the ways of the world and become more like Christ, who emptied himself so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. To participate in death is the pathway to eternal life. Participating in death is not a message of the world. Yet our religion is based on this premise. To live a life in Christ is to bring Jesus into ourselves so we see the world with the eyes of God as beautiful and beloved, and to participate actively in God's work of reconciliation and restoration of this world as God desired it to be. A few years ago, while I was in Michigan, I had the opportunity to visit my oldest friend from college, my buddy Dwayne. As we walked along the beach of Lake Michigan, he reminded me of a book that I recommended to him many years ago by someone who was a friend of mine. The book is called The Dream of God. He said that this book did more to change his ideas of what Christianity is about more than anything he has read before or since. This short book, written by Verna Dozier, one of the true great theologians of the Episcopal Church who died about 15 years ago, is a game changer. Verna eloquently takes us through a journey of how God sees our world. She spells out God's dream for us to participate in the world's reconciliation and restoration as God intended it. I had almost forgotten about this book and hope to order copies this fall and maybe start up a book group. I'll let you know when we start, and I'll be happy to get copies for anyone who would like to join. I invite you during this Eucharistic prayer to watch what's going on and pay close attention to the words, because you and I are full participants in the mysterious transformation of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. A priest cannot do Mass by themselves. It requires a community of faith gathered around for Christ to come fully present in the elements of bread and wine. In the offering of the bread and wine, we offer ourselves as well to be transformed into this body of Christ. In communion, we're asking God's Holy Spirit to transform us more fully into Christ. So as you receive the body and blood of our Lord in communion, I invite you to reflect on today's gospel, which tells us we are literally taking Jesus Christ into ourselves. Not to make us feel better, but to have Christ abide in us and we in him, in order that the Holy Spirit will bring new life to those lifeless places within you and I, so that this communion might be more and more transformed us into Christ for the world, right now where we live and work. Transformation helps us see with the eyes of God, and to offer ourselves to a broken world that sorely needs the presence of Christ's body, which is today you and I. Amen.